CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin, who is at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. So I put all the imponderables and unsolvables on his doorstep. And Anatole is very kind to come to me as a European to look at the complex picture of Nord Stream 2. It is not only a natural gas pipeline that bypasses the transit fees of Ukraine. It is also a way of talking about the pieces of Europe that are not moving in the same direction. Poland, Ukraine, the Baltic states are adamant in distrusting hostility towards Russia. Russia has Belarus as a client state at the very least, and Belarus's bad acting now is part of the picture. Anatole, I report to you a metric that everybody can understand. The price of natural gas per 1,000 cubics meters in January of this year was $170. It is now $517. I'm told that is a product of Russia obliging Western Europe, Germany in particular, to follow through on the completion of Nord Stream 2. And yet, during the recent conversations between Washington and Berlin, Angela Merkel and President Biden, we were told that if Russia attempted to weaponize natural gas against Ukraine, it would be prevented or Nord Stream 2 wouldn't go forward. Help me understand then Europe's thinking about Nord Stream 2 and the dependence upon Russian natural gas to get through the winter.
Well, it can be summed up very well in a headline in the Financial Times a few years back, which read, according to opinion polls in Europe, European publics distrust Russia or fear Russian pressure or something of the sort, refuse to pay more for energy. In other words, they want to have it both ways. They don't want to make the investments, although now for climate change reasons, maybe they will. But they don't want to make the investments that would free themselves of Russian gas, because that will mean higher energy prices for them. The problem is, though, that at the moment, it's not simply Russia's move to raise the natural gas. The international price of natural gas has gone up because there are restricted supplies given the huge demand from China and growing demand from China and elsewhere, growing demand from India for liquid natural gas. Obviously Russia is trying to make more money out of this. Whether one can call this weaponization, I'm not entirely sure, because they got what they wanted basically from the Germans, and Biden has gone along with it. They got Nord Stream, of course, with various German promises of what they would do. But I think, what this really underlines is, we want to free ourselves, both for reasons of security from Russia and for reasons of climate change. We want to free ourselves from dependence on natural gas. Well, we've got to pay for alternative energy. We've got to pay higher energy prices. There's no good sitting around, complaining if you're not prepared to take the steps necessary to increase your own security. Certainly, this does underline the fact that, energy dependence on Russia carries with it both security risks and economic risks, no question.
It connects to the geopolitical contest between Eastern Europe and Russia. Is this a story that we're not going to solve in our lifetimes, Anatole? So that the country that is Poland, the country that is Ukraine, the Baltic states are not going to be convinced that Russia is either a benign actor or much less frightening and damaging than it fancies itself. Because Western Europe is buffered from Russian aggression along the frontier. That is not the case right now in Ukraine and Lithuania.
Well, I think when it comes to aggression, i.e. military aggression, Lithuania is buffered because Lithuania is a member of NATO and the European Union. And, there are no signs that Russia is going to run the colossal risks that would come out of actually invading, you know, putting direct military pressure on Lithuania. If Russia did that, then the Germans would have to break off Nord Stream, amongst other things, you know, and you would have to get really, really determined European efforts to do without Russian gas. So they're not going to do that. But of course, there are more indirect means of pressure. If reports are true that Belarus has been doing, you know, what Turkey did before, and allowing or encouraging migrants to cross over into Lithuania or into the European Union through its territory, well, you know, that is one means of pressure on Lithuania, to which, of course, the Lithuanians are quite rightly responding. But I think it's, you know, it's a mistake to think that Russian military action in Ukraine, you know, which, you know, obviously, that, you know, contains large numbers of Russians, historically closely tied to Russia, and is not a member of NATO and the European Union. You know, I think the Poles are, well, you know, we have to say somewhat paranoid in thinking that this implies the possibility of military aggression against them. I don't think there's any chance of that. Other forms of pressure, yes.
And dealing with Russia right today, and this is a large story, we could turn it over many times. Do you regard the Kremlin as confident of its authority so that it doesn't need any more demonstration in the near abroad? As you just said, a military invasion of Lithuania seems far-fetched, although the Lithuanians think about it a lot, Anatole, you know this, and the same for Poland, the same for NATO. They spend money on this. Do you measure that Putin's Russia is not military to that extent? It's opportunistic, and it uses crude methodology, but not tanks. Is that how you measure it?
Well, once again, it depends where. In certain areas, of course, Russia will defend what it sees as its vital interest by force. Did so in Georgia, has done so in Ukraine, will do so again if necessary. But as I say, you know, attacking NATO is a very, very, very different matter. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, seen from Moscow, a lot of this is reactive. You know, it's reacting to NATO expansion. It's reacting to, you know, Georgia's attempt to regain its lost territories in 2008. We see Russia as initiating things. They see things as responding. I mean, it's worth pointing out that in other areas where Russia has not felt threatened, or where, you know, Russia has not sought to pursue influence by military means. You know, there's a huge Russian minority in Kazakhstan, but Russia has never sought to weaponize this against Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan has never, you know, tried to become an ally of NATO against Russia. So it's a question of Russia, to an extent, reacting to things, but of course reacting to things by illegitimate and military means.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, helping me with the imponderables, the unsolvables of the story of Nord Stream 2 and its attendant questions. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.